We're also grateful and thankful for the presence of the Lord this morning. I believe the Lord has given us something to encourage our hearts this morning. I ask for your prayers because I've never preached on this before, but I believe it's needed and it's necessary. It's to encourage our hearts, is to help us along the way. It's important to know that all of this works through salvation. You have to be saved in order to have this blessing. But the title of this discourse is Christian Confidence. Christian Confidence. Amen. All right? And so the Bible says to be careful for nothing. All right? Be careful for nothing. It also says in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says to be sober, to be vigilant. It says that your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says you can resist him steadfast in the faith. The enemy, he likes to work in the extremes, all right? He'll get you too high, or he'll get you too low. Either way, if he can get you in either of those positions, you're in trouble. May the Lord help us this morning. And so we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We have to be careful for nothing. We have to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We want to be exactly where God wants us to be. Not too high, not too low. May the Lord help us this morning. This message is about balance. It's about knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. It's about knowing what God feels about us, not necessarily what we feel about ourselves, what not necessarily what others think about us, but how he sees us and where we need to be in order to be successful as the children of the Most High God. May the Lord help us this morning. God wants us to know who we are in him. And the safety is being where God wants us to be. Not too high, lifted up in pride. Not too low, where everybody and anything can run over us. You know, sometimes we think that humility means that anybody and everybody can run over us. Amen. And I want to encourage you this morning that that is not true. Amen. All right, that's not true. If you think that, what'll happen is that not only will other people be running over you when God did not intend for them to run over you, but the enemy himself will run over you. Right. All right? Because remember Daniel. Remember the three Hebrew children. Remember all those who stood for Christ. In order to stand for Christ, sometimes you have to meekly hold the true position. And so when they come to Daniel and they said, Daniel, you're praying too much, what did Daniel do? Kept on praying, didn't he? Kept on praying. When they came to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and they said, bow unto this God, what did they do? They said, we will not bow. Does that? We don't see humility in that way. But humility is knowing the will of God and doing the will of God in spite and despite whatever the circumstances may be, whatever the consequences may be. Lord, where do you want me at in terms of this Christian salvation? Lord, I don't want to be too high. I don't want to be too low. I want to be right where you want me to be. 1 Peter 5 and 6, what does that say? May the Lord help us this morning. Want you to be praying for us this morning. Kind of a new topic, but it's true and it's helpful. It'll help us along the way. May the Lord help us. 1 Peter chapter, let's see, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. Read that for us, please.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God.
All right, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God.
That he may exalt you in due time.
That he may exalt you in due time. And so what happens is the enemy wants to work in the extreme. He wants you so low that everybody's running over you to include him. Or he wants you lifted up in pride. Does anybody know the scripture about pride over in the Old Testament? Pride goeth before what? A destruction, a haughty spirit before what? Before a fall. And so if the enemy can get us in either of those conditions, then we'll get ourselves into trouble. So may the Lord help us. When we're seeking to be humble, we must remember who we are submitting to. And I'm going to show you how this works. All right, Jesus Christ is our supreme example. Would you agree?
Yes.
All right, and since Jesus Christ is our supreme example, go with me to Matthew 26 and verse number 39. What does it say? Matthew 26, verse number 39. The devil's trying to really trip me up this morning.
Lord bless.
Well, we just keep going by the help of the Lord. We'll keep holding on to Jesus. What does it say, 26:39 of Matthew?
And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying.
And he got on his knees and fell on his face and he said what?
Oh, my Father.
Oh, my Father.
If it be possible.
If it be possible.
Let this cup pass from
me.
Nevertheless.
Not as I will, but as thou wilt. When a person is seeking to be humble, they have to remember who they are submitting to. Jesus Christ did not submit to those people. Jesus Christ did not submit to the devil. Jesus Christ submitted to the will of God.
Yes.
Do you understand? And so when we humble ourselves and we seek to be pleasing and honoring unto God, then we have to know what the will of God is in the first place. And then whatever that will is, we're submitting to him, not necessarily them. They may be the ones that's killing us. They may be the one that's talking bad about us. They may be the one that's throwing us under the bus. But ultimately, the reason why we don't take vengeance on them, because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And so we have to remember that we're not necessarily submitting to them, but we are submitting to the will of God. And that's why we are not retaliating. What it feels like in the situation, I'll be honest with you, it feels like people are getting over on us. It feels like that they're doing us wrong.
Right.
It feels like we need to retaliate. But the real truth is that we are submitting to the will of God because we want God to deal with them rather than ourselves.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. And so what the enemy will present to us is he'll be like, well, if you don't defend yourself in this situation, then how are they going to know? Well, who's going to defend you? Who's going to take up your cause? But it's going to be the Lord. And so we submit to God, and God takes up our cause, and only God can deal the way that he deals, and only God works in the way that he works. May the Lord help us. So I've talked about pride, and I've talked about being too high. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Too high. If I'm too high, I'm lifted up in myself. If I am even a Christian and I become self-righteous, what ends up happening is I will disregard the will of God for mine own.
Sure.
All right?
Amen.
I will disregard God's will, and I'll be in my own will. Matter of fact, I call it the silent killer. Because you and I can be Christians, and we can be thinking that we're doing the will of God, but pride has gotten in, it has lifted us up, it has elevated us, and we're thinking we're doing the will of God, when in reality, we are following after something of our own self.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lord help us. And so Christian confidence is not pride, but it's knowing who God sees us as, is having the worth that he has placed upon us, and in the same way, it is not too low. Somebody go to, what is this scripture? It's found in Romans 12. We're going to read 1 through 3, but I want you to read verse number 3. This is our text scripture, and this is what I'm basing all of this on. May the Lord help us. It's Romans 12. Verse number 3, what does it say?
For I say through the grace given unto me,
I say
for every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly,
all right,
according to as God hath dealt in every man the measure of faith.
Dealt to every man the measure of faith. It says here, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. But, Lord help us. More highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know what? This must be a good message. It must be. Because he really is fighting me right now. I don't care. I'm going to do what God tell me to do. Yes. But this is something that we must need.
Yes.
This is something that we must need because I can't even hardly read. Yes. I've been rubbing at a higher reading level since I was in the third grade. May the Lord help us. So I can read, y'all. I promise you that. But the enemy's trying to fight us. Amen. But by the help of the Lord, we're going to get this out. Amen. Listen, the enemy wants to trick you up. Yeah. He wants to get you too high, too low. Either way, if you're too low, you'll think it's the same thing. Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
If I'm too high, I disregard what God is saying.
Yeah.
If I'm too low, I don't even know what God is saying because I'm trying to do something that God is not requiring of me to do.
Amen.
Either way, I'm getting beat up in this deal and God's will is not being done.
Help us, Lord.
All right, and so there is a place, what I'm presenting to you this morning, there is a place in Christ Jesus that is not too high, that is not too low,
yes,
that the Lord wants us operating from.
Amen.
And if we don't do that, then the devil can come tell us anything and we'll fall for it.
Help us, Lord.
May the Lord help us. And so may the Lord help us. It says, don't think of yourself too high, but think soberly. So what that is implying is, we can get too high, we can get too low. Either way, it's not good. We need to be sober-minded and be right in the place that God would have us to be.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us. All right, and so we think we're submitting to God. When we get too low, we think we're submitting to God when we are, in fact, submitting to something that is not pleasing unto him. And so we want the Lord to help us to know our position, to meekly hold the true position. Song number 270. I'm going to read a little bit and expound a little bit on that song. I want you to stay with me and pray with me and pray for me. It says, standing firm. That's the title of the song. You can't stand firm if you're a soldier in God's army, if you're depressed and beat down and run over. You can't stand firm if you're too proud to even hear the commander's voice, let alone do what he's telling you to do. All right, so it says here, hear the voice of our commander standing firm. Holy Christian, take the armor standing firm. Shod in gospel preparation, sword and helmet of salvation, and then do what? Meekly hold the true position standing firm. What we're talking about is being in the true position before the Lord. Remember that we are soldiers in God's army.
Yes.
And so what the enemy is trying to do is he's trying to get you in a place where you are an ineffective soldier. Yes. You are so meek and so mild and so humble, and I say that in quotations, that when the devil comes, he run right over you. And you think that you are doing the will of God, or you are so lifted up in pride, you can't hear the voice of your commander, let alone do his will. All right? And so there's a place in Christ Jesus that he wants us as we listen. If we're not soldiers, then why do we have the weapons of our warfare? And if we're not soldiers, then what good is soldiers if they don't do battle? They got to do battle, don't they? That's the reason for the soldiers. They've got to eliminate the threat, or they got to at least be ready to do battle and so that the threat don't want to come. You see what I'm saying? And so we're soldiers in God's army, and so in order for us to be effective, we've got to be in the right state of mind before Christ Jesus. It says, if it be thy lot to suffer, standing firm, vile as slander tongue can utter, standing firm. When somebody slanders you, how are you going to stay in the place that God wants you to be? If I'm in pride, what am I going to do? I'm going to retaliate. If I'm way down and depressed, what I'm going to do? It's going to beat me down even more, isn't it? Either way, I'm ineffective in the soldier as a soldier in God's army. All right, if it be thy lot to suffer, standing firm, vile as slander, tongue can utter, standing firm. Shout and sing, for then is given greater thy reward in heaven when the wicked far are driven, standing firm. When we do this, again, we are submitting unto the will of God.
Yes.
Lord, do you want me to do you want me to respond to what is being said about me or to me? Do you want me to respond?
Okay.
Lord, if you want me to respond, then you'll have to give me the words to say. You'll have to help me to be in the right spirit and then leave it when I'm done. Sometimes God wants you to respond. Did you know that? Sometimes somebody say something about you that is completely and entirely untrue, and what they're trying to do, the enemy is using them to slander or to drag your name in the mud, and then those other people that are looking on, then you're no longer an example to them. And so God has to step in and give you the words to say that you meekly hope, I didn't do what you said I did. I wouldn't do what you said me to, I did. And by the grace of God, may I never be found in that position. But that's not what I did.
Right.
You understand?
Amen.
And sometimes God will say, you're too excited about saying something. I want you to be quiet. I'm going to stand in here and I'm going to deal with this situation.
Yeah.
Okay? We have to know the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
And we have to follow the voice of the Lord. And God will give us our instructions. It says, greater thy reward in heaven when the wicked far are driven standing firm. When I've done what God has told me to do, I've suffered what I've had to suffer, and God has defended me or has helped me to say what I need to say, then the Lord is going to bless that. In the time of sore temptation, the enemy comes in. It's very easy when you have pride on hand. Sore temptation is a big and great temptation. Very easy when you are in pride, when you are not in the place that God wants you to be, or you're too low, it's easy to succumb to temptation. It's very easy. Sometimes when temptation comes, we'll say, well, we'll just do this one thing real quick. And then we'll repent. You think God wants you doing that?
No.
Huh? Sometimes we will say, well, I'll go there, but I won't do that. But I'm going to go there, though. And the Lord is saying, don't go there. Because he knows if you go there, you're going to do that.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
And so our pride will cause us to be like Samson. And we'll say, listen, Delilah, if you cut my hair, I'm still going to be strong. Don't worry about it. You see?
Yeah.
So that's the high side of it. Meekly hold the true position. The low side of it is, you ain't nothing anyway. You wasn't going to be successful anyway. The devil don't talk to you like that. I'm saved, sanctified, a minister, a pastor, everything else. And he talked to me like that. I know he talked to you like that.
Yeah.
I know he does. I don't even know why you acting like that. You think you all saved and everything. You think you so good. I may not be all of that, but as long as I'm good enough to make heaven.
Amen.
Huh? Why are you playing? As long as I'm good enough to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that's what I'm aiming for. You see. And so I don't have time to listen to what he's saying. But if I'm already down in the dumps, and so this is what a lot of your trials are coming from. A lot of your tests, when the enemy is coming in, and he's been coming in for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, listen, it's always a spiritual battle. It's always something that the enemy is trying to achieve. And so you say, why did this happen? And why did that happen? And this didn't go right. And that didn't go right. And so I'm down in my spirits. And I don't know. I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it. What's the Bible say about that? When I'm weak, what? I can't hear you. Then I am strong. Then I am strong. He gives power to who? No, he gives power to the strong people. People that's already strong. Right? Because they need it. They're already strong. Right? He gives power to who? To the faint and who else? To them that have no might. And what else does he do? He increases strength. And so even though you're in these bad situations and the devil is trying to kick you and your boss is treating you wrong and the dog won't do right and whatever else is going wrong with you, even though you're in these positions, know that you are in a position of power with God. Because he gives power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases strength.
Amen.
All right? And so he can work through that. If you'll stay in the place that God wants you to be, if you reject the depression and the despondency and the negativity, the discouragement that the enemy is trying to put on you, and you'll say, Lord, help me. I'm already in a bad position. I'm asking you to help me. Will you help me? See if he don't come and help you. See if he don't come and help you. He's the one that said it, and he's going to be true to his word. I'm not telling you, if you're in disobedience, you've done wrong, and you want God to come bless your wrong, it's not going to work like that. You'll have to humble yourself, ask forgiveness first, then ask for his help.
Amen.
Okay?
That's true.
God is not going to bless our disobedience. All right, so it's not a blanket statement. It's always an if-then. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. All right? But he gives power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be despondent. I don't have to be one of those woe is me Christians. You ever meet somebody like that? I'm happy, redeemed, and free. I love my Lord because he loves me. Y'all believe that? Is that believable? Why would anybody want to be saved if all the saved people is sad all the time and they ain't got no victory, they ain't got no thanksgiving, they ain't got nothing?
Lord,
help us. Do you see what we're talking about, Christian confidence? I got the hope of the righteous. I got a crown in heaven. I got a mansion waiting in glory. And not only that, I got the great God of heaven that made all of this as my friend. What do you mean I can't stay down? I can't stay down. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to stay down. I reject that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I reject that. May the Lord help us. We have to be in a place where God wants us to be, and God will teach us to be that. I'm encouraging you to be praying in those ways.
Amen.
Ask the Lord, Lord, am I too high, Lord? Help me to come on down. I'll be honest with you. I've asked, and the home folks know this, on a Wednesday night, I've asked them, pray for me. I have a tendency to want to be prideful. What? A minister wanting to be prideful? Yes. I'm a human just like anybody else. I have to overcome temptation. It just so happens that I think I'm somebody if I'm not careful. And the devil knows it. And so if I preach one good message, the big head is coming. Lord help us. And so I have to ask the Lord, Lord, keep me humble.
Yes.
Keep me pure. Keep me in the place you want me to be in.
Yes.
Amen. All right? And so the Lord is faithful, isn't he?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Didn't see that bed you just stubbed your toe on, did you? How we doing, big head? You see what I'm saying? He'll be faithful to us. But we have to understand what our tendency is. Some of us have a tendency to be too high. Some of us have a tendency to be too low. We have to understand what our tendencies are. And then, Lord, make the adjustments in me. Some of us, it don't matter what happened. We're just not going to be happy. It don't matter.
Lord, have mercy.
Let me ask you this. Lord told me this not too long ago. If we can keep count of all of the bad things that is happening in our life, what about the good things? What about the good things? I have to bypass all of the good things to focus on the bad things. But it seems like it's in our nature. Some people are naturally positive and upbeat. Some people are the other way. But with salvation, God can fix us and put us exactly where we need to be. I'm not talking about self-righteousness and lifted up in pride. I'm not talking about a sad and sorry, woeful Christian. I'm talking about right where God wants us to be.
Amen.
And there's a place in Christ that he has for you and me where we can have victory in him because we know who we are in God's eyes. I said that earlier. I don't know if you got a hold of that. I need to know how God sees me.
Yes.
Not necessarily how I see me, not necessarily how others view me. I need to know how you see me, Lord, and then I'll go from that standpoint, then I can go and do.
Yes.
Some of y'all have gifts that well, everybody has a gift.
Yes.
But some gifts and talents are not being used because you're too humble to use them, aren't you? So humble you can't even use the blessings that God has given you. God is saying, I want you to go out and use this talent that I gave you to glorify and please me. And you say, this little old thing, you know how Moses did. I can't talk, Lord. I can't talk. You know, that's how we do. Lord, and already, don't you think he know what you can and can't do?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does.
And then some of us, we're going to do everything. Lord, help us. I'd be more on that side. Pray for me. You want things to go right. You want to be a part of things. But the Lord knows how to pull us back.
Yes.
And sit us down. Simmer down, big boy. You're going to be all right. Slow down. Let me take the lead in this thing.
Yes.
May the Lord help us. May he stand by and be with us. So we have a job to do. And we want to be able to do it, but if we're not careful, we'll be in a place where what I have, remember the story about the talents? One had one had two, one had five. The one with five did something with his. The one with two did something with his. God rewarded both of them for what they did. But the other one took his and did what? He buried it, hid it and buried it in a field. What he's basically saying is, This ain't good enough, Lord. It ain't good enough to even be used by you. Lord, help us.
Yeah.
We don't want to be on that side of it either. Yeah. May the Lord help us this morning. May he stand by and be with us. I want to go to Romans 12 and 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, amen, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All right? It says in verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Talking about verse number 1, remember that it is God's mercy, it is God's grace, and it is God's goodness that we can be anywhere in Christ anyway. All right? It's his salvation. The Bible says it's a gift of God. So we have no personal, we're not anything special. If we're saved today, God is the one that has saved us. I want you to realize something as well. You know that you can't save nobody? Did you know that? Some Christians, because of, it's really pride. We don't think about it that way, but that's what it is. We call it a savior complex. We're going to save everybody. All our loved ones, we're going to pray so hard, they're going to get saved. Y'all think it worked that way?
No.
Does it work that way according to the Bible?
No.
God's going to deal. He's going to work. He's going to create situation and circumstance to deal with that man or woman. So he's going to do that. But he's not going to make them get saved. And you can't pray them into heaven. But some of us, if we're not careful, we think we're going to drag somebody into heaven behind us with our prayers. It's not going to happen. And so sometimes we just got to give things to give them to the Lord.
Yes.
And it's not easy to do that because we love them and we care about them. But you know the devil will use that to kill you.
Yes.
You quiet and you act like I said something that ain't true. But he'll use that to harm you is what he'll do. You be praying so hard, and they have no interest in being saved. They have that the Lord is dealing with them, and they are spurning him and pushing him off. Do you know that the reason why the Bible talks about some people going to be on the right and some people going to be on the left, it is because some people are not going to choose God, unfortunately. Doesn't have to be you. Doesn't have to be me. But we can't save. I haven't saved nobody yet, and I never will. I don't have that ability. I got the ability to live right before you, to be an example. I got the ability to encourage and counsel and pray with you and pray for you. Got all of those things. I can bring you before God, but ultimately it's up to you.
Amen.
And so, Lord, help us when we are in those positions. Lord, help us to understand that's not a thing. And we cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us.
Yes.
So salvation comes from God, and the gifts come from God. And we have to understand that. Now, this says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm telling you that can't be done unless you are saved. All right? The Bible says no man can serve two masters. All right? And so you're not going to present your body unto God as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. You're not going to be able to do that if you are conflicted. If you want your way and you want God too, we talked about it this morning in the Sunday school. Eventually, your way is going to push God out of your life. That's the way it works. And so we have to get true and real Bible salvation. And not only that, we have to, on a daily basis, pursue a relationship with God that is pleasing and honoring, not to us, but to him.
Yes.
Yeah, amen.
So you don't just get saved, but you have to stay saved. And there's work that's involved in that.
Amen.
All right, and then it says in verse number 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then it tells you what's in the world. Lust, and the pride of life.
Right.
All right? And so we have to understand that if we love the world, eventually that love is going to vie for the affection of God's love. It's going to choke and suffocate God's love in our heart. And so we can't hold on to God and hold on to the world as well. Because what the world does is it pulls us away from God. And God is going to stay where he is. And so we have to let go of God in order to go to the world. All right? I'm talking about this because in order to have Christian confidence, you have to deal with all of these things. You have to be saved. You have to give up the love of the world. You have to allow God to renew your mind. You have to do all of those things if you're going to be pleasing and honoring unto God. And what ends up happening is you start getting victory in Jesus. And with that victory comes confidence.
Yes.
All right? If you go out and do something over and over again and you are never successful, you're not going to be confident in that thing. But if you approach your salvation with the Lord, you and I approach our relationship with the Lord in sincerity and truth, that, Lord, I want to be all you want me to be. I want to give my heart, my life, my mind, everything that I have, it's yours, Lord. Sooner or later, you're going to start having some spiritual victories. If you are up and down, I'm telling you, there is something that is in you that is drawing back. All right? But once you get rid of those drawbacks, you're going to start stacking up some victories. Now, when those victories come, you got to be careful.
Yes.
Because, like I said, victory comes confidence. And then what the enemy wants, what do you think the enemy wants to do with confidence?
Pride.
Get you, don't stop at confidence. Keep on going and get prideful. All right? And then if you're in that other place and you're not getting victory because you've had some things that you haven't handled yet, what ends up happening is you're having failure and failure and failure and failure. What do you think he wants to do with that? Keep on going down, you see. And so we have to first be saved. And then once we are saved, we are to pursue the place that God has for us with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit on a daily basis. Once we've done that, what we'll find is we'll start stacking up successes after successes, victories unto victory is what the Bible says.
Thank you, Lord.
And then we have to watch out that we get too high or that we get too low. May the Lord help us today. And so the third verse says, again, I say unto you, the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. And so what that is implying is you should have some confidence in your relationship with God. That is a good thing. But he said, don't think too highly. What is also implied, don't get too low. Be right where the Lord wants you to be. All right. Now, I'm running out of time, and I don't want to go long. We may hit this again from a different angle. If it be the Lord will, we may touch on this again. But I do want to put some scripture to some of the things I've said. Romans 12 and 21, it talks about being not overcome with evil, but overcoming evil with good.
Yes.
All right, so 12 and 21 of Romans is one of the scriptures that we need. Romans 8 and 37, it says we are to be more than conquerors. But it also gives an understanding that we are to conquer through him. All right, and so our confidence is in him.
Yes.
It comes from him and it is in him. All right, and so that's a scripture that we need to be aware of, all right? And this is when we start getting this consistency and the victory that God has for us. Another scripture that we may need to look at, it says in Proverbs 16 and 8, it says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then it says, what does it say in Galatians 5 and 1? Somebody get there and read that for us.
Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free.
All right.
And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
All right. And so this is instruction to the Christian. You've been saved. You are gaining a victory. God has made you free. You have liberty in Christ Jesus. So I want us to understand that Christianity, there's freedom in Christianity. The way that it's presented is that Christians are not free. You have to go to church. You have to read your Bible. You have to dress and talk in a certain way. But what it really is when you are in sin, the song, go to this song with me. No, it's not in the book. I want you to, it's called The Son Hath Made Me Free. The first verse says, I was once in Egypt's bondage, but deliverance came to me. And I'm dwelling now in Canaan, for the Son hath made me free. So what happens is, when you're in sin, that's where all the bondage is. Egypt is a type of bondage, all right? And so when you're in sin, you really do have to do things that you don't want to do. Because you don't have the authority or the power to tell the devil no.
Amen.
But when you are saved, what you have is you have a change in ownership and a change in management. Praise the Lord. And so you have a new master. You don't have to serve that master anymore. And that master that makes you do things that you don't want to do. That master that forces you to say things that destroys your relationships and has destroyed your life and then giving you the unforgiveness that won't allow you to repair those things. You can do away with him. All right, and in Christ Jesus, he give you power over the tongue. He give you power over unforgiveness. He give you power to live a righteous and a clean and a holy life. He give you peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And you're in sin. Listen, I was not saved before. I know this is true. You got to pretend like you're happy half the time.
Right.
Why you got to pretend like you're happy? Why do you need all these crutches to help you to be happy? I'm living for the weekend. I'm living for Friday night. Why? I'm having happiness today.
Amen.
And it don't matter what come or what go my way. I've got Jesus on my side to help me with whatever it is. And so the freedom is on the righteous side. The goodness is with God. You understand? But that's not the way it is presented. And so we have to understand that we have our confidence and our trust in Christ Jesus, and he has made us free. We have liberty in Christ, and so we rejoice in those things. We're grateful and we're thankful for those things. I refer to being soldiers, Christian soldiers. And you need to understand that a soldier can't fight if he's too up, too low. And the soldier is not wise if he's too high. What will happen on the battlefield is very similar to what happens on the fire ground. If I jump up, as soon as the apparatus, that engine gets to the fire, fire's blowing and going, and I jump off and I grab that nozzle and I run into that fire, it might be a rescue. And then when I say rescue, they need to rescue me.
Right.
Because I got the big head. I put the last five fires out. I'll probably put this one out. No, there is a method to how this is done. You have a captain or a lieutenant on that apparatus that is supposed to keep you safe. And so they are to look at what's going on and then figure out how to fight this battle in the best way. In the same way, we have a supreme commander. All right? And so he knows how to fight this battle in the best way. All right, and so we have to follow him. And so we're soldiers in his armies. Ephesians 6 and 11 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. What do we need all the armor for if we ain't going to do no fight? And if I'm a soldier and I have no morale, then I'm easily beaten. If I'm a soldier and I'm too prideful, I'm still going to make mistakes and get myself in a bad situation. And so the Lord is able to help us with all of these things. Thank the Lord. If you're struggling with knowing your place in Christ Jesus, if you are struggling with having confidence in God and being able to, because again, you don't have any confidence, the enemy is just going to beat you down. He's going to beat you down until you give in, and he's going to take something that is rightfully yours. All right? And so I want to encourage you to know that there is a place in Christ Jesus that's not too high, it's not too low, that God wants you to stay in, and is pleasing and honoring unto God. I know that we haven't probably heard about this too much, but the Lord gave it to us, and we believe that is something to help you and to encourage you along the way. If you're in those places and you've been struggling, whether it be too high or too low, I want to encourage you that God has a place for you. You can seek him at an altar of prayer, and you can be plain and clear with God. Lord, I have this problem. This is where I'm at, and this is what I've been dealing with. And Lord, I want you to show me where you want me to be. I want you to put me in the place that you have for me. And Lord, once you've done that, Lord, not only will I praise your name, but I'm going to remain there until you say something different. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers for me. My goal and aim is to make heaven my home.
Yes.
My other goal and aim is to be an example of the believers,
yes,
in word, in deed, and in all things. And I want to encourage you to do the same. May the Lord help us. Again, appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your participation in the message. May the Lord bless his word this morning. Amen.